Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. Inspire change. Shape the future.
President Trump tried to eliminate the National Endowment for the Arts during his first term in office. So as we gear up for round two, what could the new administration mean for arts funding in Chicago? I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. To put it bluntly, the state of arts funding in Chicago is uncertain. From COVID relief dollars drying up to changes in the city's cultural affairs department, there are already more questions than answers ever before a second Trump presidency. In a few minutes, we'll hear from one local artist and weaver, Anders Zanishkowski. But first, we checked in with WBEZ arts and culture reporter Courtney Kippers on how supporting the arts has changed in the city and what's happening right now.
There's a lot going on. We know that Trump is once again in the presidency on the federal level, and Chicago just went through a really tough budget cycle, and COVID relief dollars are going away. And all of that spells a lot of uncertainty for arts funding, both here in Chicago and well beyond. But in Chicago, the city's cultural department really grew its investment in artists during the pandemic. And it expanded this program that we're going to talk about, known as the Individual Artists Program. And now advocates really want to see that increased investment be sustained going forward.
Where does the money come from?
Yeah, well, the budget for DCASE, the city's cultural department, comes from a couple of different places. It is worth noting that DCASE's budget does not come from the city's corporate fund.
Okay.
So it's not funded the way we fund, say, the police department. Instead, DCASE gets its budget through the city, a city special tax, the city's special events and hotel tax, along with private and public grants. And those come from places like the National Endowment for the Arts and the Illinois Arts Council. So within DCASE's budget, they then make some funds available to artists and organizations that they can apply for and receive grants.
So where does President-elect Donald Trump stand when it comes to funding the arts? I think that's the big question that people want to know right now.
Definitely. During his first term, Trump became the first president of either party to vow to slash funding to the National Endowment for the Arts. That effort ultimately failed. Actually, the NEA funding grew under Trump's first term. So it really remains to be seen what will happen in a second term. Funding for the NEA has been hugely popular across both political parties in the past. So we will see what happens in the next 4 years.
Last Wednesday was the last day for local artists to apply for this year's Individual Artists Program grants, or IAP grants. What are IAP grants? And just tell us how they work exactly.
Sure. It's a direct-to-artist fund. So artists, filmmakers, performers, really creatives of all varieties can apply to the city and receive up to $6,000 a person. And the pot of money that is available for this program grew pretty considerably during COVID. At its peak in 2022, there was about $1.5 million available, and it's mostly held steady since then. The program is really popular, both among artists and arts advocates, and it's also become really competitive. About 15 to 20% of applicants that apply actually receive funding.
All right, let's add another voice to the conversation, Courtney. Anders Zanishkowski is a Chicago artist, weaver, and owner of Burial Blankets. Hey, Anders, welcome to the program.
Hi, Sasha.
Great to see you. So I want to start off by actually learning more about your artistic practice of weaving, because I'm fascinated. I want to hear how you started Burial Blankets. This was back in 2021, right?
Yeah, I started Burial Blankets After a couple of years learning the craft of weaving and being at a place in my own work as an artist where I really wanted to make artworks that would have a real life in the world that would be themselves a sacred object. And I've long been fascinated by death and dying, mortality, burial art, these sorts of things. And I was really hungry to figure out what my contemporary burial art would look like for this moment. And over a few years, certainly with the COVID pandemic hitting and this mass death event, it really came to me very, very naturally. A lot of threads over many years came together, and I started weaving burial shrouds. So my business, which is called Burial Blankets, is also my main creative practice now. I weave shrouds for green burial out of natural fibers, but they're meant to live a whole life with the person before they die. So I do custom commissions with people who bring all of their own design ideas, their heritage. Sometimes people come to weave a portion of their blanket with me in the studio when it's on the loom.
Oh, that's nice.
They can build a ritual around that. And then when the blanket is finished, it goes into their home, into their life for years, if not decades.
I'm so grateful you brought some examples into the studio. What do I have next to me here?
What you have is a cotton baby blanket.
So this is a beautiful, colorful piece.
A very, very colorful. This is a rainbow blankie inspired by my five-year-old friend who wanted a rainbow blankie. So I made a series sort of in his honor.
It's thick.
It's very thick and squishy. It's very warming. And my friends joke, I weave only for the cradle and the grave, nothing in between. So this is a baby blanket for like welcoming new life.
Perfect. Well, I know you are also familiar with what we were just talking about, Courtney and I, that's the city's IAP grants, right? Because you've gone through that grueling application process, what, three times?
Three times.
And you received the capped amount of $6,000 back in 2023. So what were you able to use the money for?
I was able to make major upgrades to my studio. Weaving is a very physically arduous craft. It's very hard on your joints, and it demands a lot of repetitive labor. So I was able to buy an upgrade to my equipment that makes the whole process and equipment work much more ergonomically. I was able to pay photographers to document a memorial performance that I did a few times in Chicago and in Madison in a traveling group show called Aesthetics of Loss. I was able to buy a ton of thread. We're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of yards of thread on cones to begin producing a line of ready-made shrouds. So as opposed to the custom pieces I work on with individuals, these would be available in like funeral homes or green burial centers for people to buy when they need to bury a loved one. And that's a sort of new product line that I was able to invest in. One thing I do want people to know about the DK's grant is that, yes, I received this very, very career-changing $6,000 grant. $1,500 of that I can pay myself. So there's a cap. 25% of the grant can be paid as what we would call an artist fee, just for being alive and being a skilled professional. If you break that down to like Chicago's living wage, about $25 an hour, that's 60 hours of labor. So it's not much money if you think of us as skilled professionals. Then about 900 of the grant would go towards taxes. You are allowed to build in the taxes you pay on the money into the grant, which is very, very thoughtful of DK's to allow that. And then everything else has to go to other things, materials, equipment, travel expenses, that sort of thing. So it's not like I was just given like a 3-month vacation.
Yeah. Well, this explains why I hear that you told our producers that, you know, a $6,000 grant is both a lot of money and not enough at the same time.
Yeah.
So, Courtney, there has been more of a focus on supporting individual artists with these grants in recent years, similar to what we just heard Anders describe. What do you think's been fueling that shift to funding individual artists directly?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, both in Chicago and nationally, really came about during COVID relief efforts, a time when, of course, artists and all of us were really in crisis. And that support was really well received. And artists I talked to would like to see that support continue even beyond being in the thick of the pandemic. Making art is still very expensive and, as Anders was saying, can still be a real challenge to live as a full-time working artist. And so artists who I talked to say that their work, which our city is often so proud of and boasts about, requires ongoing support.
Yeah. Well, why do you think it's important, Anders, to fund artists in this way, individually?
Well, I think about what my friend Hope Wang has said. She's the co-director of Loom Room, which is a community access weaving studio in Chicago, where weavers have access to this equipment on a just, hi, I would like to show up at this time and use the loom basis. There's no application. There's no jury deciding who gets access. It's a really unique business model, and it's rooted in her belief that I share, which is that artists are the experts on our own process. We are the experts on our own studio practice, on our needs, on our creative process, the time involved, the materials involved, the research and experimentation that's involved. And what I think a lot of people don't necessarily appreciate if they aren't deeply invested in a studio practice is just how much time, skill, resources go into even just giving yourself the mental space to have good ideas, to try things out, make mistakes, forgive yourself, move forward,
so
correct things. Yeah.
So underrated, so important.
And then once you do have a really good working prototype for the thing you want to make, then you have to get studio access, rent tools, buy materials, get childcare to watch your kids so they're not messing it up while you're in there, all these sorts of things.
The creative process is so particular, isn't it?
It really is particular. And we are the ones at the center of all of that creation. We are also very collaborative people, especially my experience as a Chicago artist now, is that we are having conversations among ourselves as artists and creative people that are generating really, really unique ways of solving problems. And it comes from making things with our hands, making things with our ideas. And so to invest in us directly, it's just going right to the source.
Like I mentioned, Courtney, the city was taking applications for IAP grants for 2025. So there has to be some money allocated for these funds. I mean, has DK shared with you how much?
The department would not answer our specific questions about how much money will be available for the IAP this year. We know that last year there was about $1 million available that ended up being split among 200 artists. The department did tell us that they will give out $9.3 million in grants overall this year. They have several different grant programs, and that would be an increase from the roughly $8 million they gave out last year, but we don't know what programs that extra money will go toward.
Are you concerned, Anders, about the future of arts funding in this city?
Always. Always. I'm not concerned about the future of people making art. People will always make art. Mm-hmm. My concern is that when arts funding gets cut, the people most impacted are going to be low-income artists, artists of color, artists who have all kinds of logistical reasons. Maybe they are full-time parents or caregivers. They're working two jobs already, right? So the artists whose voices are most needed, whose communities are going to benefit the most from their ability to pursue that creative work, are going to be the ones hurting for that support. So I'm always worried about the inequity in the art scene, because we've never solved that problem. And so the worse the funding streams get, the more we deal with that. DCase, I will say, does a very, very concerted effort towards equity in the redistribution of those funds to lower income neighborhoods, neighborhoods with fewer arts opportunities, and all of that. Those demographic questions and neighborhood-based questions are weighted in the process, which I know because I also sat on the selection committee the year after I received the grant.
Yeah.
So I was sort of on the back end reviewing things.
Well, Anders brings up some good points there, Courtney. I mean, leave us with your thoughts. Who do you think will be impacted the most if we've got less money being allocated to the arts?
Yeah, I think Anders did a good job of laying out the concerns that a lot of people share around those possibilities for inequities. I will say it remains to be seen whether or not arts funding does take a significant dip in future years. So I think for right now, a lot of advocates are just hoping for sustained funding. So we'll see.
We'll leave it there. We have been talking to WBEZ Arts and Culture reporter Courtney Kippers and Chicago artist, weaver, and owner of Burial Blankets, Anders Zanishkowski. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sasha.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Micah Yasin. It was edited by Meha Ahmed. We love talking about all things arts and culture here on Reset. We feature conversations with some of Chicago's best artists. We get the latest on theater happening across the city and much, much more. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening. Have a great day, and we'll meet again soon.
name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely